We're going to do the same thing this morning in Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll turn there with me. We've got a big section to cover here in verses 23 through 29, Hebrews chapter 11. And as we're walking by faith, this word this morning speaks to each one of us today. Our family, listen, those of us who are heads of our home, we have a responsibility, and the word's going to speak to us, mom and dad. It's going to speak to the children, the students as well, the decision they need to make in their journey of faith. And what we need to realize is that we do live in a broken, crazy world, and we need to walk by faith as we navigate this world. And things haven't changed from Moses' day to ours. And this is interesting what it's going to teach us about the choices that you and I make and the choices we need to be made by guided by God's word. And so, you know, life is spelled real simply L-I-F-E, but it's those two little letters in the middle, I-F, that really was what life is all about. If I make this decision or if I make that decision, if I choose to go down this narrow pathway here or if I choose the broad way over here, if I choose to marry this individual or don't, if I take this job or choose to stay where I presently am, all of these choices, if I choose to obey mom and dad or if I don't, all of those choices impact and affect our life. It's what life is made up, choices each and every day. And as our life is centered on if we do this or if we do that, the amazing thing, students, listen to this. You and I are responsible for our choices. We get to make our choices, but we don't get to choose the consequences, right? Life teaches us that. That there are consequences to all of our choices. In fact, that's a little mantra we would always say raising our little ones. My actions have consequences. And frankly, we live in a world that needs to realize that today. Amen? Whole generation needs to realize the choices that we make, there are consequences that go along with them. And so if that's serious, and it is serious, especially as you get older, the consequences seem to get even more weightier, I need to make certain I'm making choices wisely. And how would I make a wise choice? And did Moses do that? Did his parents do that? And that's what's going to be highlighted here. The choices that we make as people of God. The choices that should be guided by our faith. I mean, listen, we come to God believing that he is. And that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. That's what faith is supposed to do, according to verse 6 when we studied that several months ago. But we're going to see that played out even in the life of Moses, what he chose to believe, what his parents chose to believe, and frankly, what we need to choose to believe as well. In fact, what we're going to find as we read here in just a moment, there are many, many choices, a whole bunch of them that Moses makes, his parents make, and all of them impact their life. And I need to realize that, hey, men, listen, you and I, as leaders in our home, we set the pace. It's on us, okay? We're to be spiritual leaders in our home. We own that. We take that weight upon ourselves. That's what we're supposed to do as men. And that impacts our children. It impacts our grandchildren. It impacts our family in their journey of faith. Now, we're not alone. Praise the Lord for our brides. God has given us that complement us one in another. And, you know, yesterday, just what a joy to be able to wed a young couple together, Trace and Sydney, and all the exciting things that are before them in life. And to realize, listen, beginning to build that home on faith, so critical. And each one embracing their responsibility to walk by faith. But as we lead our children, I can't expect my sons, my daughter, to go where I don't lead them, right? So many have, you know, parented this way, do as I say, not do as I do, right? Because oftentimes if I tell them to do what I say to them, but I don't even practice what I preach, listen, I'm just nothing more than a hypocrite. And that doesn't encourage the faith of the next generation. I need to flesh it out, walk by faith, and pour the faith into the hearts of my children, teaching them to fear God, to love them with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. The amazing thing is God promises that, listen, he'll be faithful to multiple generations. How many? Thousands. For those, his hesed will extend to thousands. Why wouldn't I want to experience that for myself and for those who come after me? Well, part of it is making hard choices. Listen, hard choices in the face of adversity, hard choices in the face of maybe an oppressive governing authority, and you have to do that periodically. Now, listen, students, listen carefully. There's going to be a picture here of Moses' parents and then a picture of Moses himself, and this is what's important. Students, you're responsible for what you do with the faith that's poured in you. Your parents aren't responsible for that. Their responsibility is to pour the faith into you. You're responsible for what you do with it. And they don't answer to God for that. They answer to God for what they did pouring into you. But you have to embrace it yourself and stand before God for yourself one day. You don't get to stand there and answer, you know, with your parents covering you. I know today, listen, this is how we live in a lot of things in our world today. A lot of parents want to be helicopter parents, although now they've changed that and they say they're called lawnmower parents. They turn the blades instead of hovering over the children. It's like they want to mow the grass before them and make it just as smooth as possible so the children don't experience any adversity or challenge or difficulty. But listen, if we're going to exercise faith, shouldn't we expect to experience adversity and difficulty? What better way than to help them to navigate that by faith, to teach them to own those things, to feel that weight in a loving environment in the home? Listen, not sheltering them from adversity and difficulty, but helping them when it may happen, when it may come, and helping them to learn to exercise faith. So while they're in our homes, they learn to exercise their faith and grow stronger in their faith. So we're going to see mom and dad here. We're going to see the child as well, and the child as he grows to an adult. And both of those paradigms, listen, are for you and for me to exercise faith. You may be an empty nester and say, well, I'm an empty nester now. What do I do? Here's the amazing thing in God's word. It says you can impact the third and fourth generations with your sin, or you can teach them to fear God to the third and fourth generation. Why not do that? We need that. Multiple generations of faithfulness influencing the lives of those that are coming after us. Listen, so that they'll grab the baton when it's handed to them and run the race of faith. And run it all the way to the finish line. This is what God's word is going to speak to us today. And the question is, am I ready to hear the living God speak? Because this word is alive. It's really applicable even today. I'll show you in just a moment how. So I want you to stand with me and honor the word of the Lord and hear this section. I'm going to read from verse 23 through 29. Look at all these decisions that are being made by people of God who walk by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. Now, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked for the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. And Father, as we have a little history lesson here, a reminder of what's recorded there in the book of Exodus, Lord, we know that this interpretation of what happened that Paul gives us, Lord, it's your word speaking to us, encouraging us to walk by faith as Moses' parents did, as Moses himself did. God, today, Lord, especially for the men in the room, God, steel our spines to be spiritual leaders in our home, to do what we need in this day and in this age as we lead our families, Lord, to be what you've called us to be as biblical men, God. Our families need it. Our nation needs it. Lord, houses of faith need it. Lord, we need good, godly leadership from our men. And so, Lord, may we embrace that today, and may we take steps of faith, Lord, to go forward believing and trusting all that we read about here in your word. and bless our homes and bless our families that are rising up behind us, Lord, our children and grandchildren. May they too run the race of faith faithfully, Lord, embracing the faith that we have and discovering God doesn't change. It's we who must change. And may we experience your blessings each and every day. We love you and we praise you and ask that you speak to us now in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated this morning. Paul is moving from the period of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph now, to the period of the Exodus. A picture, a glimpse, and a very important history in the life of God's people. This is when they found themselves in bondage. Why? Well, there was a Pharaoh who arose who knew not Joseph. And he wanted to enslave God's people, and he did that. He had no regard for them. He had no regard for God. He had no regard for God's people. And so he put God's people into bondage, and he didn't like them at all, so much so that he wanted to destroy them. Now, this isn't much different than the world in which we live today, who has no regard for God or no regard for his people. In fact, it says in the end times, it won't be like an Egyptian bondage. It'll actually be a Babylonian bondage, but that's another story for another sermon a little bit later, maybe in the book of Hebrews. But right now, I want to introduce you to two very important people, though we don't know their names here in Hebrews. Their names are found. Moses' dad's name is found over there in Exodus, and his mama's name. Their names were Amram and Jochebed. Their names, while not lifted here, are great people of faith. Moses' parents trusted and believed in God, and their faith took action. They did something. They were great people of faith. In fact, they're what you and I should be as parents. Do you remember this phrase? The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Now, we have lost the significance of that, realizing the power of influence the young generation, particularly when they are from the cradle to about 5 years old, the influence that moms and dads, you have. Don't sell out and sell out that privilege you have to pour into your children in those formative years and to influence them to walk by faith. Jochebed did that with Moses. So much so, it speaks to us of a choice that you need to make that can greatly impact your child's life. Who knows, within this room, it would be awesome for someone in this room, one of our children, to rise up and be a governing official, a governing leader someday. And oh, by the way, to allow the Word of God to be the rudder by which they make decisions. We need more leaders like that, amen? By the way, see me after church if you want. I've got a great list of individuals running for office here in November. If you happen to live in the city of Statesville and need some assistance in that, we can help you know who believes that way, amen? Oh, by the way, that's not a political message. I can do that now. All right. Praise the Lord that we changed that too. But we would do it anyways because the prophet always calls out the king in the word of God. So we don't have a problem with that. Amen? Listen, our God reigns and he rules and he's told us, listen, to live by righteous standards. And our governing officials need to read that. Pharaoh didn't live by that. He had no regard for God. He had no regard for his righteous standards. Well, listen, what did Moses' parents do? Well, notice what they did. By faith, Moses, when he was born, now Moses isn't exercising the faith, his parents are. What did they do? They hid him. They hid him for 3 months. Why did they have to hide him? Well, if you don't know the story over there in the book of Exodus, chapter 1 and chapter 2, what you realize is because the Hebrews were multiplying, and there's so many of them there in Egypt, Pharaoh didn't like that, so he told the Hebrew midwives, listen, when the Hebrew women are giving birth, if it's a little boy, throw him in the Nile. Kill him. Infanticide. Destroy that precious life. And so Moses' parents, when he was born, here's a baby boy that's born. What did they do? They hid him for 3 months. They protected his precious life. Why? Because they saw, listen, this is a gift from God. This life is precious. In fact, they saw, as it says here, that he was a beautiful child. Now listen, I've been in, you know, to the hospital many times when babies are born. I love to do that. I just have rules. I can't touch them because evidently we keep having them when we do that. So I don't do that part, right? So someone told me it was in the water. I don't know. Anyways, okay. Standing rules from Miss April. Okay. I've lost my place here. Forgive me. They're gifts, y'all. And they're all beautiful. They're all precious. Amen. And our culture has lost sight of that. They've lost complete sight of that gift from God that's been given. Valuing the power and the potential that little one possesses. Listen, we don't even want to teach them and help them to realize they have a special, unique purpose that they were made for. Helping them to realize the significance of their life. And yet, that's the responsibility we have. His parents understood it. There was something about this one drawn from the waters. This one whose name Moses. Would he be one to deliver God's people? They didn't know, but they certainly were crying out for a deliverer. They realized this bondage is not a good thing, and they needed a deliverer. And part of God's plan was to use this precious little baby. And moms and dads, we need to see those little ones as gifts. I mean, the fruit of the womb, right, is the heritage from the Lord. It's all from Him. It is a gift. Whether you have 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, I don't care how many, each one is a blessing. And they're all unique, and God has a special, unique purpose for each one. And ultimately, what our responsibility is to mold them, to make them, to shape them, to pour the faith into them, to train them, to nurture the faith in them, to embrace that responsibility, to disciple them, to discipline them, to model before them the faith. Moses' parents saw the potential in this one. He was a beautiful child. And so because of realizing, listen, that's what faith does, and it chooses wisely, realizes the potential of life. We live in a culture that has no value for life. God help us. In church, that's our responsibility as the pillar for the truth to lift that up and say life is precious and defend it. And that's what these parents did. Now, not only that, notice what else they did. They also, why did they hide him? Well, not only because he was beautiful, but also, notice, also, and they were not afraid of the king's command. So they saw the potential in this gift from God that had been given to them. They saw something special, beautiful, unique about this one. And so should we, these little ones. But also, they didn't fear the governing authority. We need more of that today as well. Amen. They didn't fear the tyrant. They didn't fear the one, listen, that had the authority and was saying, cast these little ones, these innocent ones, into the Nile. Destroy them. Slaughter them. They hid the precious little boy. And they did that, listen, at great danger. You know that I'm certain Pharaoh's forces were there, and they were searching out. They realized, listen, these Hebrews, they're growing. We've got to remove and destroy all the men. Now, what's fascinating is if you really stop and think about it, why the men and not the girls? Stop and think about that. Why? Well, because you see the sinister power of darkness that's out there. He knew in that time, listen, he knew there was a threat to him, and you know what it was? The seed, the one that was to come, that ultimately is going to crush his head. And if you don't think that that spirit of darkness is still influencing as it did in that day, it is. It wanted to destroy the coming seed at all costs. And so it hates male. It hates manhood. In fact, it's not significant even today. What do you see in our culture today? We see a despising of biblical manhood, right? We see even the desire to emasculate our little boys intentionally, to effeminize them. In fact, there are godless and wicked ideologies that want to remove the parts. God have mercy on us. You see, the problem in Moses' day wasn't like a political problem between the party of the Hebrews versus the party of the Egyptians, okay? As in our day, it's not just a problem between the party of the Democrats versus the party of the Republicans. It's greater than that. The conflict is greater than that. It's light versus darkness. Remember, as Paul would tell the Ephesians, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battle ultimately is light versus darkness. And we need to realize that today. And the goals of the devil has always been to what? To devour, to destroy, to rob. And that's what he was doing in that day. It's what he's trying to do in our day. And we need to realize that, not be afraid of any authority like that, but fear God. That's what Moses' parents did. They feared God. They realized life was a gift from him. Life is to be treasured. Life is to be valued. And the spiritual conflict that they were experiencing hasn't changed today. And church, we've had our head in the sand for too long, and we need to rise up and stand and speak out against it and live like it as well. Modeling faith before our children and our grandchildren and showing them the way that God, praise the Lord, taught us, showed us, and our need, we need to do that. It means we need to lean in to where our kids are at. Know what's going on in their life. Know what influences them. Know what's coming through those screens. And that's why we did the digital dangers for the parents a couple Sunday nights ago. To be aware of what destructive things are out there trying to destroy their life. Moses' parents made a choice to walk by faith, to believe. And moms and dads, we need to do the same thing. Men, it rises on you and me right here. It's on us. We need to lead our homes as we should biblically. Now, what's amazing is mom, dad, they exercised their faith. They did the right thing. You know the story, what happened. Moses is in the little, he's put in the little ark, right? He was cast into the river, but in a protective shell. They made a little ark, put some pitch in it. They put the baby in there after 3 months. He was probably squealing, squalling too much. They had to, okay, we're going to have to trust the Lord. But they had a plan with that too. His sister, older sister Miriam, followed the little boat as it went down the river. And it just happened by the providence of God, right? To do what? To land there near Pharaoh's daughter. She heard the squeal of the baby. She heard a sound. What is that noise? And went over and plucked that little basket. Oh, look, a Hebrew child, a Hebrew boy. And just at that time, Miriam happened to be walking along the shore, right? And saw and said, oh, by the way, I could find you a Hebrew woman to nurse that baby, his mama. And in the providence of God, God was bringing deliverance to his people. Now, let me just say, sometimes we don't understand the adversity. We don't understand the challenges we face leading our families in the faith. But we have to trust God. And realize, you know what, it might be through those adverse moments that actually that's how he's doing his work. Moses was drawn from the water. Pharaoh's daughter took him and took him as her own. But here's the amazing thing. Jochebed, his mama, got to nurse him, got to pour into him. Now listen, I know today with infants, with baby milk and powder and all that stuff that they had today. I don't understand how it works, but I know this. When they nursed back then, they nursed for more than just 6 months or 3 months or 9 months. Sometimes they nursed for several years. And so as Moses was with her, his mama, she poured the faith into him at such an early age, but those were formative years. That's why moms, listen to me, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. You can make important decisions today when they are little, little, little people. I like the little peoples, right? When they're little, pour the faith into them. In fact, grandma, grandpa, when they're little, pour the faith into them. It's powerful. God's word does not return void. That's what the word tells me in Isaiah 55. I choose to believe that God's word will not return void. Jochebed poured so much into him that at some point Moses had to make his own decision. And that's what is highlighted here. Not his parents' faith now, but Moses' faith. Notice this in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, when he grew up to make his own decisions, he had to make some decisions. Moms and dads, that's what we're preparing them for. And if we don't allow them to exercise and exercise that muscle of faith in their bodies, in their hearts, listen, it's going to be harder for them to make the right decisions. So do that now. It's okay to let them fall while they're under the household. Listen, love them and help them to learn from those experiences. So when they do exercise their own faith when they're of age, they make the right decision. That's the picture here. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, what did he do? It's a big decision. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused that identity. Now stop and think about that for just a moment. All that we hear today in our culture, everything about identity, right? You got identity politics everywhere. That phrase comes up over and over and over. We've done with all that woke stuff. I'm about ready just to pun it. Amen? We're done with it. It's not biblical. There's also a generation today being brainwashed about their sexual identity, right? that we need for the church to stand firm and push back against this. Listen, the pendulum has swung. If we don't seize this opportunity, shame on us. We'll give an account to it for God one day, whether we upheld the pillar of truth or didn't. It's a time to push back and push back hard and reclaim some ground that has been given up. Moses knew his identity. He refused the identity of who? Being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh would have been his granddaddy. And that, listen, he had been privileged. He had probably had access to the best libraries and all the things necessary for education. And yet Moses refused all of that, all the privileges, everything. He renounced his adoption. He renounced his inheritance in the Egyptian worldview. He rejected all of that. And what did he choose instead? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You see, this is a decision every believer has to make. Students, when you come of age, you have to make your choice. Do I want to embrace the world and maybe how the world wants to define me? Or do I want to embrace God and how God defines me and everything that goes with that? Now listen, all those, Paul would say to Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all those who desire to live godly will suffer persecution in some way. When you choose God and his ways, I mean, it's no different than what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you when men persecute you and speak vile and evil things against you for my name's sake, right? Rejoice because your name's written down in heaven. Your reward is secure in because your Father sees and knows that. Whose identity do you want to have? Do you want to have an identity that the world gives you, or do you want the identity that the creator of the world gives you? I want his, amen? Moses chose. Not only listen, he didn't just choose to be identified as one of God's children. He identified with the people too. That's a problem in our churches today as well. Well, I can have God and worship him wherever I want, but I don't really need to be with the people. No. The head has a body, amen? And you need to be plugged in. In fact, he said it over in chapter 10, don't forsake the assembling of the brethren together, especially as you see the day approaching. Why? We need to encourage one another to don't forget whose we are. We need to encourage one another that we are the family of faith and we live like the family of faith and we want to demonstrate to the world out there that we're the family of faith. Why? Because our God is awesome. We've just sung it not too long ago, about 25 minutes ago. Our great God, our awesome God, there's none like him. Moses chose to identify and to suffer affliction with the people of God rather to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You see, knowing who you are is an important choice as we walk by faith. Knowing whose I am, who do I belong to? But also knowing this, there is a plumb line for life, and you and I have to establish what do we truly value in life. And when you choose what you value in life, it's what you and I learn is that plumb line helps us to delineate those things that are virtuous and those things that are vice. And we choose to embrace those things that are virtuous and reject those things that are vice. And that's what he had to do. He chose, listen, the things of God, the suffering that went along with that, rather than the passing pleasures of sin. He esteemed, he valued the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of the treasures in Egypt. Why would you do that? Why would you choose, listen, the significance, the suffering that goes along with being a part of God's people and not take the easy path? Because that's a challenge in our world today as well. We don't want the difficult path. We don't want to embrace hardship and difficulty. And yet Moses is saying, listen, if you walk by faith, this is a choice you and I have to make. It's a choice throughout the week that when I choose to identify with God and his people, there may be hardships that come with it. And Moses says, I'll take those. Now stop and think for a moment. Again, he was in a privileged position. There's not many people that would write and record their sin. He did over in the book of Exodus. You know what his sin was? He murdered somebody. He murdered who specifically? An Egyptian. Why? Because the Egyptian was beating one of his fellow Hebrew slaves, and he protected that slave. And the next day, when he was stopping a dispute between two Hebrews, one of them said, "What are you going to do? Kill me, as you did that Egyptian?" And he had to flee for his life because he knew I'm guilty. Man, I you stop and think about that sometimes, recording that down as he writes the Pentateuch, the first five books. But the amazing thing is, God's gracious and merciful. And God had a plan in all of this. And as we see here, he chose to identify with his suffering people than all the privileged status that he had and all that Egypt had to offer. You see, you can choose worldly pleasures. You can choose worldly treasures. You can choose worldly positions. But have you weighed it in the balance? Because those things are all temporary. Moses, notice this. This is fascinating. Why did he do this? Look at the end of verse 26. Why did he choose the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt? Why? Because there was a greater reward he saw. And he was looking forward to. He was looking for the reward. Now, look, I wrote in the margin of my Bible right here, verse 6, because I want to go back up and remind myself, everyone who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. What reward are you living for right now? What choice are you making? Are you and I living for the rewards that this world has to give us? Are our eyes fixed on the throne and the eternal reward, which is God himself, and everything else he promises is part of his kingdom that is to come? You see, we can live for the world down here, our little fiefdoms with our little crowns, and all this world wants to give us is kings and queens and our little fiefdom, and think, oh, this is all so great here, but it's just passing pleasures. When you consider the weight of glory and everything that God has for us, I mean, when you gaze upon his face, when we get there, and we get there one day, right? This will seem like nothing. And yet, we treasure this stuff. We treasure what this world offers. We treasure positions that they'll give us here. And yet, nothing compares to being a child of God, an heir to eternal kingdom, a joint heir with Christ, and what comes through us as his people. Moses looked for the eternal reward. Like the fathers before him, the patriarchs, they were looking, living for a city which is to come. And so should you, and so should I. You see, this is like when Jesus would say, where are you laying up your treasures? On earth? Hey, moss, rust, it's going to destroy it. Or you can lay up your treasures where? In heaven. You know what? Wherever your treasure is, there your heart is. That hits hard. I have to evaluate that. You have to evaluate. What am I living for? What am I modeling for my children as they come after me? What am I living for of significance and of weight? Moses said, listen, I'll take heaven and I'll take him and I'll take the reward that he has to give me rather than all that this world has to offer. And he identified with God and with God's people rather than taking the power, the allurements, and all the comforts that he certainly had there in Pharaoh's court. And that's the question. Nothing can compare when you stop and think about it. But the suffering, Pastor Chris, the affliction that they would endure, I mean, all the hardships they went through, is it really worth it? Paul speaks about that over in the book of Corinthians. He says, you know, when you put it in the scale right now, suffering and affliction and the weight of glory, the eternal weight of glory, all this momentary light affliction, it doesn't compare with the eternal weight of glory. Beloved, it will be worth it all when we see him. That's what faith believes. That's what faith looks forward to. That's why we exercise faith and we lead our families in faith, because we are pursuing the reward, God himself and all that he promises in him. You see, I can take wealth and security now and all the sensual pleasures that are available and all the material possessions that to satisfy my wildest dreams, but it's all empty and it doesn't last. And only what is eternal will last. And that means I need to be attached to the eternal one. You see, the price tag is pretty hefty to pay. The consequences are great. Moses evidently had an eternal perspective that influenced his choices. He didn't choose the temporal things. He chose the eternal things. And beloved, we have to do the same thing if we walk by faith. Yes, you might be mocked, you might be ridiculed, ostracized even for your faith at work because you identify with the people of God. So be it. So be it. I know whose I am. That's all that matters. I want his smile and I'll accept the world's sneer. It's okay. because I want to be identified with him. Moses walked by faith. He feared God. In fact, it says that here. In a way, right here, when it says in 27:28, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He didn't fear Pharaoh, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Where's your God? I don't know, but he told us to go out into the wilderness, Pharaoh. Let us go. Let his people go. We need to go out there to that mountain, and we need to have a meal with him, a worship meal with him. We need to fellowship with him and worship. And so you need to let God's people go. By faith, why did he keep the Passover? It says right here why. He sprinkled the blood on the doors. Why did he do that? Because lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You see, verse 27, he didn't fear Pharaoh, the wrath of the king, but he did fear the one who could take life. Beloved, we need to do the same thing. I mean, if I truly reverence God, then that influences my journey of faith. And it's that reverence, listen, that's the rudder to help me. Listen, I love him because, man, he has first loved me and I didn't deserve it. And I want to do what he commands me to do. And I want to go forward in faith and experience all the promises and all the blessings that he offers me as the people of God. And because I know whose I am, now I go forward in faith, embracing suffering if necessary, embracing humility, embracing all of that, but being wise as I take my steps of faith. Because one day, there's going to be a reward. And I'm looking forward to it. And so should you. You see, men, listen. This is the time to lead our families in faith. We must do this. And moms, come alongside the husband and encourage him as he does that to be what God's called him to be. Grandmas, grandpas, you're not out of the race either. While you have breath, you have influence. Use it wisely. Students, grab the baton. This is a time to be a generation that does something great for the glory of God and isn't ashamed of the gospel and knows whose they are and what he is able to do. In fact, our prayer this morning ought to be, Lord, steel my spine to in my generation serve faithfully, have the resolve to do the right thing for the right king. And when it's my time to lie down and know, well done, good and faithful.